Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the August 2024 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by finishing The Shortwave Listener by Fred Waterer, Olympics, Proms, and BBC Summer Radio Fair on Shortwave. Many international broadcasters will be covering the Olympic Games. Most daily newscasts and broadcasts will have some coverage of the events. Based on past experience, the Voice of America's Sunny Side of Sports will be a valuable source of information. The Sunny Side of Sports is an energetic and action-packed look at both world and African sports. Since the show's creation in 1999, host Sunny Young has delighted listeners with a lively presentation that combines humor, props, sound effects, and correspondent reports from Africa and all over the world. Sunny Side of Sports is broadcast Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Listen on 17,895 kHz at 16:30 UTC and on 13,590 and 15,580 kHz at 18:30 UTC. Upcoming program by the Beeb. Times UTC, all programs are archived after broadcast, so one can go back and listen, some almost indefinitely. Queen at the BBC. Radio 2 celebrates Roger Taylor's 75th birthday with this hour-long special looking back on his career through discussions with his fellow band members in Queen, talking to BBC presenters, and being played on vinyl and in session at the BBC. From the first moments of Queen's long and successful career to more recent years, the show features clips from John Peel, Tom Brown, Tommy Vance, Simon Bates, Mike Reed, Johnny Walker, and Bob Harris as they interview Freddie Mercury, John Deacon, Roger Taylor, and Brian May. The group talks about their latest releases of the time, live performances, how they recorded and composed classics like Bohemian Rhapsody, and the excitement about their first plays on BBC radio and television shows, such as The Old Grey Whistle Test. After the tragic death of Freddie Mercury, listeners also hear what he would have wanted the band to do, both together and in their solo careers, as well as how glad he would have been that they paid tribute to him in a special Wembley Stadium concert. This program is available on BBC Sounds for 30 days after broadcast. BBC Radio 2, Saturday, July 20th at 0300. The Explanation. Brokering peace between warring nations. How does it work, and what causes failure? We look at Qatar's role in the Middle East and at learnings from the Northern Ireland model. Host Claire Graham talks to Lies Doucet, the BBC's chief international correspondent, about how the state actors in peace mediation have adapted over time. She tackles the question, can you really be a mediator if you are not neutral? BBC World Service, Sunday, July 21st at 11:30. The Conversation. The ability to understand and share the feelings of others is a fundamental part of what makes us human. But is our ability to empathize with others at risk? If so, what could the consequences be for the next generation? BBC World Service, Monday, July 22nd at 13:30. The $6 billion gold scam. BRI ex-geologist Michael de Guzman is the man of the hour. He's responsible for one of the biggest gold discoveries in the world, deep in the Indonesian jungle. It's a find that sends BRI ex stock prices soaring to stratospheric heights. So his apparent death, a dramatic fall from a helicopter flying to the gold site, sends shockwaves around the world. Did he jump? Was he pushed? But the days following his death will prove even more shocking. This appears to be a BBC-CBC co-production. BBC World Service, Wednesday, July 24th at 13:30. Crowd science. In many languages across the world, all nouns are classed as either male or female, or sometimes neuter. The English language, however, only signals gender in its pronouns, he, she, it, or they. For inanimate objects, gender just crops up in occasional examples like ships or countries, which for some reason are deemed female. This lack of gender in English intrigued crowd science listener Stuart, since the other languages he knows all highlight whether something is male or female. Did English ever have gender? And if so, where did it go? Presenter Anand Chagatia dives into some old English texts to uncover the idiosyncrasies of its masculine and feminine nouns and learns why these gradually fell out of use. But why do other languages assign gender to nouns? Male, female, and sometimes many more categories too. And does this affect the way we think? Anand speaks both the gendered language, Gujarati, and the non-gendered English. He investigates how speaking each changes the way he sees the world. BBC World Service, Friday, July 26, 2030 UTC. BBC World Service and the Royal Commission for the Exhibition of 1851 present The Engineers, Intelligent Machines. The Engineers is an annual event staged by the BBC World Service in partnership with the Royal Commission for the Exhibition of 1851. The Engineers asks the critical questions at the forefront of science and technology by bringing audiences, trusted voices with the greatest expertise in the transformative fields of machine learning and AI. We're looking forward to an insightful and revealing discussion on the BBC World Service. The Engineers is an annual event staged by the BBC World Service in partnership with the Royal Commission for the Exhibition of 1851. The producer for the BBC is Charlie Taylor. The recording of the event will broadcast on August 10th at 12 p.m. British Standard Time on the BBC World Service and will be available on BBC Sounds. And now Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR, KS4ZR numeral 1 at gmail.com. Streaming CBC Radio, FTA satellite changes, and a field day report. I've written before about the decline of the standalone Wi-Fi radio, previously a staple in the modern radio listening world. The enduring popularity of smart speakers such as Amazon's Echo devices, $50, is probably the main reason. One of the last Wi-Fi radio manufacturers, Grace Digital, is perennially sold out of their products on their website, gracedigital.com. A few refurbished units can be found at a discount on their website, the pricey wood cabinet version selling for $280 to $300. Compared to the Roku stick, those radios are so early 21st century. I compared the Roku 4K streaming stick to the Amazon Fire TV stick, $60 for the 4K Max streaming device, in the July 2022 issue of this column. So I'll focus on the Roku 4K stick this month, $40 at Roku.com. The small thumb drive style device plugs into any HDMI plug on your TV. Most modern TV sets have at least one HDMI input. The stick does a lot of work, so it needs to be powered. In most cases, you can use the short power cable included with the stick that features a USB plug at one end and a small plug at the other. The small end of the cord plugs into the back of the Roku stick while it is plugged into the HDMI port, and the USB end plugs into any USB port on the back of your TV, which most modern TV sets also have. In case your TV doesn't have a USB port, you can use the extension cord, which is included with your Roku stick, along with a power adapter that lets you plug into any nearby wall plug. Either way, A small white LED lights on the Roku stick to show that it is connected. When you turn on your TV, you'll see the Roku displayed on your TV screen. In some older sets, you may have to rename the device so you don't confuse it with any other HDMI-fed devices such as DVD players. Follow the directions that come with the Roku stick to connect via Bluetooth to your router. If you don't have a router, you can connect to the internet via any Wi-Fi hotspot. As with any device in the digital world, the greater the screen resolution, the more bandwidth is required for viewing. For example, streaming video content can be as high as 4K, in which case you'll need a robust connection to the internet to watch really high-definition video. But streaming audio is different. You may not need high-speed internet to successfully stream audio content. However, a streaming stick is just a stick until you've loaded an app that does what you want. What we want is to stream radio stations from around the world, and the best app I've found for that is MyTuner, which is found on the Roku by using the Roku remote control and going to the Roku Streaming Store function. There you'll find a box labeled Search. Using the remote, click OK on Search, and using the drop-down keyboard, laboriously type MyTuner in the search box. While you're typing, the icon for MyTuner will appear. You'll have the option to install and open the app. At the time I added the app to my Roku stick, it was free. On the Amazon stick, it's $2.99. In my opinion, the app version used on the Roku stick doesn't display annoying commercial ads, though the one for desktop listening does. I found that the version for iPhones does have limited advertising. I recently came across a great classical music station from CBC in the French language called Ici Musique Classique. To listen live without an app on any laptop or desktop device, go to ECI.radio-canada.ca/OHDIO/musique, that's MUSIQUE, hyphen, classique, that's CLASSIQUE. You can start listening on your device by pressing the En Direct button. I wanted to be able to hear the audio on the stereo in the office, so I went to the MyTuner app on my Roku stick and entered EC into the search function on the app. More than a dozen CBC French-Canadian stations were quickly found, including EC Musique Classique. If you're not interested in classical music, there are dozens of other English-language CBC radio streams to choose by typing CBC into the app's search function. That brings up dozens of English-language AM and FM CBC radio stations from across Canada. Each square represents a different station from a different Canadian city. Using your Roku remote, you can start listening. Add your favorites to a favorites list, and you won't have to try to find it again by searching later. There's no limit on the number of favorites you can store. As I'm writing this, I'm listening to CBC One Classical Music over CBC Radio Inuvik. Now that you've got the hang of it, try searching for all of your favorite shortwave broadcasters. You'll most likely find them on MyTuner. VOA, BBC, and many more will come up, including WRMI and other U.S.-based shortwave stations. The halcyon days of Radio Canada International are long gone, but this new era of English and French programming from our northern neighbor is available 24/7 in excellent audio fidelity. No fading, no static, and no sunspots required. If you want even better audio, use a fiber optic cable, often referred to as a Toslink cable, short for Toshiba Link, and take the audio from your TV and feed it into your stereo. Most stereos will have at least one Toslink input. Use your stereo to set the optimum audio experience. To add to the versatility of this arrangement, I take the audio output from the back of the FTA satellite receiver, an Amico FTA receiver that happens to have left and right RCA output plugs, and feed the input of a C-Crane Part 15 FM transmitter at ccrane.com. Still only $70. They often have orphan FM transmitters, returns, for $10 off plus shipping. The transmitter is strong enough to be heard almost anywhere in the house, and often within a short range outside the house. Unfortunately, many FTA satellite receivers are not putting left-right RCA jacks on the back of new receivers. My GT Media FTA satellite receiver, which I use for C-band reception, does not have additional audio outputs. FTA satellite changes. The world of free-to-air FTA satellite TV and radio is constantly changing. For numerous reasons, broadcasters can end up on different transponders and even different satellites from time to time. When a switch is made, affiliate stations are alerted via email or letter, and the date of the switch and new parameters for reception are announced. But this is not the case for those of us who listen or watch programming from our backyard dishes. When such changes occur, they are typically unannounced, leaving hobbyists scrambling for information on where the programming went. There are two places I go for such information. Lyngsat.com, that's LYNGSAT.com, and TVROSAT.com, that's TVROSAT.com. Both are hobbyist-oriented FTA satellite websites and have their own advantages and disadvantages. I find Lyngsat to be the easiest to use, but sometimes not up to date. There are sometimes clues as to upcoming satellite changes. For example, for some time I noticed that channels I regularly listen to or view were shown as being offered on a different satellite, apparently simulcasting on both. Then on July 4th, the programming from the older transponder location disappeared, and only the programming on the new satellite position was seen. Regular readers of this column will know that I monitor C and KU band satellite TV and radio on four satellite dishes that are connected via a digital satellite equipment control, DISEQC, switch. A device that uses an electronic pulse from the satellite receiver to switch among the four dishes as programmed. To avoid a certain amount of confusion on my part and that of the receiver, I use two different receivers with two different remote controls. One receiver is dedicated to the 10-foot C-band dish, and the other receiver is connected to KU-band reception, utilizing a DISEQC switch, which connects to the low noise block down converter, LNB, feed horn, on four different dishes, three stationary dishes, and the KU band side of the movable 10-foot C-band dish. It's less complicated than it sounds. To make matters worse, late this past spring, I was obliged to take up all of the coax feed lines from the two long wire antennas, the rotatable active AM loop antenna, the KU band lines connected to the DISEQC switch, and the dish drive and C-band coax feed lines in order to have some repairs done on our septic system. Since then, I reconnected the C-band and KU band feeds, but not the long wires or AM active loop. I'm waiting for cooler weather to do that, but three of the stationary KU band dishes had to be reset. That's actually a plus, as the satellites they were aimed at no longer have the programming I want to monitor. Here is what happened. For decades, one 4-foot KU band dish was used for reception of SES-3 at 100 degrees west for WCPE-FM on the radio side and Deutsche Welle TV English service and NHK World Japan English service, as well as newly added Taiwan Plus English service and Nigerian Television Authority, NTA, the English TV service from Nigeria. A second dish was used to monitor the Atlantic Ocean region video and audio services from Latin America and the Middle East, Hispasat 30W-5 and 30W-6, as well as Intelsat 35E, which covers programming from Europe and the Caribbean. Both of those satellites are below where the big dish can see, because the dish drive motor won't go that far. Luckily, WCPE was moving only 2 degrees to the east, from SES 3 at 100 degrees west to SES 1 at 101 degrees west. That meant I should only have to nudge the dish a little bit to the east to pick up the new feed. The 4-foot KU band dish is moved by way of a hand crank, which was rusted in place because of disuse. Once I soaked the pivot points and the hand crank with WD-40 silicone spray, it moved easily. I hooked up the SatLink signal meter to the 4-foot dish's LNBF and set the reception parameters for the new transponder on SES-3 and slowly cranked the dish to the east. Within seconds, the SatLink was beeping wildly, indicating that the new feed was in fact being received. Once I got the maximum signal strength, there was no need to make any further adjustments. That wouldn't be the case for the other two smaller KU band dishes, which had been knocked about a bit during the maintenance project. When I got the Intelsat 35E dish back, I was grateful that Radio Classique, a Paris-based classical music channel, which also features jazz from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, was still available. I also since discovered that I can listen to Radio Classique via the Roku stick. Radio France International, RFI, is also found on this satellite. 10 other stations from around the Caribbean are found on Intelsat 35E, including RCI Guadeloupe, RCI Martinique, Radio St. Barth, Radio Transat, MFM Radio, Radio Caribe, Haiti, Bell Radio, Guadeloupe, NJR Antilles, Magic 9, Haiti, and Trace FM, Martinique, are found unencrypted. The music is a blend of contemporary island hip-hop, rock, and some traditional fare in French and Spanish. There's also programming from Radio Nacional Venezuela, RNV, and YVKE Mundial, Caracas, Venezuela. Still left to do, once the weather cools down a bit, is the Hispasat dish, which has a lot of Central and South American video and audio programming, as well as a number of feeds from the Mideast, in addition to Vatican media feeds, which include video live from the Holy See and radio services in several languages. There are also multilingual feeds of RFI and the Spanish language broadcast of Deutsche Welle TV. Radio Nacional de España has several feeds on this satellite as well. Field Day 2024 report. With the heat index topping 104, I was not about to bake outside, so I set up here at the desk for field day, operating as 1EVA, single operator using non-commercial power in the state of Virginia. The desk is on the dedicated loads panel, a circuit box in the garage that is separate from the main circuit box. It connects to the AGM battery bank in the garage so that those circuits float on the battery power while the sun is doing its thing. I also reduced power on the IC7300 to 5 watts SSB, which I knew would make operating a challenge. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.